97.9 The Box is the Mad Hatter Morning Show. We have a very special guest on the show this morning. Her name's Sabrina Greenlee. But a lot of y'all might be familiar. It is D-Hop's mama in the studio. Hey. Yes, DeAndre Hopkins, our very own wide receiver from the Texans. His mom is in the studio with us this morning. And thank you very much for being up here. Some people know of your story of how you became blind. Can you tell that story for those that don't know the story?
Absolutely. Well, first off, good morning,
yes, ma'am.
Everyone.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning.
I am
good
happy morning. To be here.
Thank you for being here. Thank you.
Among the elite. Yes.
She
amazing.
Was talking about me. The rest of y'all still working to get there. No, let me stop. Let me stop.
No, thank so, yeah, it's actually started out to be such a tragic story. Mm-hmm. Of course, we have triumphed over many obstacles. Yes, ma'am. But the story, just being blind, single mother, raising four children, all by myself, it was, there were many, many, many days where I didn't think we were going to make it.
Yes, ma'am.
A lot of sleepless nights, a lot of tears. Going back to 10 years old, being molested, just a series of overcoming a lot of things that just didn't have to happen, but happened. A small girl in a small town being taken advantage of. And so, yeah, as I had children, just trying to find my way. But I would say that it was good. It was some good days, some bad days. A lot of things happened. Of course, the one thing that sticks out in everybody's mind was how did I get blind?
And before you tell that, because now you just dropped something else. I didn't know about the molestation.
Either. Yes, yes. Early on.
At 10 years of age. Do you know or did they ever find the person responsible?
I actually was molested by my family pastor.
Wow.
Yes. And that... Of course, that's in the upcoming movie, the book. But, of course, I'm very transparent about it because I believe that there's healing in talking about it. I want to be able to talk to people about it because I don't want to hide anything anymore. So, yeah, I was molested at the age of 10 years old. A family pastor, he waited until my mom left, my grandmother left, and he tried to console me. And that turned into... 30 minutes later, I was just left in awe, didn't know what had happened, kept the secret for about 2 years. After that,
who'd you tell?
I tried to tell a couple of family members.
Did not believe
me. One of those things, literally what goes on in the home stays in the home. Yep. I was told that, like you're lying and you cannot, he's married. And like
so
you can't mess up his home. Yes, yes, and that's typically what
it
happens.
It is in
black homes.
Yes,
you know, back in the day, this was 1984.
So no justice whatsoever as it relates to that situation.
Not at all. I was actually forced to go to his funeral.
Yes. Oh my. Yeah,
3 years later.
You definitely got to write. So, because people need to, I think what happens a lot, and like you said, this stuff gets hidden a lot in certain communities, and they don't hear these stories, and people need to know that not only has it happened to you, you need to get to a place where you can talk about it and get some healing. What did you do just for that? Was there ever a time when you had an opportunity to heal from that? Even?
No healing, no counseling. That just didn't happen, you know. In our family, and because you got to think about it. If my mom had sought counseling when my brother died in 85, he was killed in a tragic car accident. So I remember my mom asking for help. So it definitely wasn't going to happen to me because even everything that happened in our family, you know, you're crazy if you seek counseling. So we just had to do some self healing.
So that. A brother dying. This is new information I've not ever heard about.
Mm-hmm.
When do you, How, when you look at your life, how do you feel about yourself? Oftentimes when people have gone through all the things that you've gone through, they have a tendency, I'm just being honest, they feel sorry for themselves. It's hard for them to be positive about anything. How do you find the strength? Where does it come from? Why didn't you give up?
You know, I look back and I had my children. Those were some positive nuggets, you know, things that happened. Mm-hmm. But throughout that, even that, you know, it was temporary satisfaction. And then you go into, oh, my God, so here they are. Now what do I do? You know, there's more mouths to feed and things like that. But if I had to look back, I look at my mom and my dad. And I didn't realize it then, but they're my heroes because they're so strong. And, you know, it had to come from somewhere. And so my mom, she lost two children, 1985, 1997. One was killed in a tragic car accident. And the other one, my other brother, just like my son, went to Clemson University, went on to Indianapolis Colts. He was healing from an injury in Atlanta. He was shot twice in the heart, two times in the hand, once in the shoulder. There was police officers opened fire on him, his wife, and his daughter. Everybody was shot. He was tragically killed in that. And so our family has dealt with a lot of things. And so I owe everything to my mom because she's so strong and through all of that. And then to go on through life and your daughter, you know, there's attempted murder on my life. So you're looking at three children that she's had to endure a lot from.
Okay, so let's talk about, so how old was DeAndre when this occurrence happened with you?
He was 10 years old.
And I don't know, his four brothers and sisters, where was he at in the procession of brothers and sisters if he was 10?
He's my third child.
He's the third. Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell us about that situation. Here's the third child. So at this particular time, at 10 years old, you're not really sure if he has the skills sort of to pay the bills, so to speak. Probably just like every other young kid out there playing Little League football and doing his thing. But tell us about the situation that occurs, and were any of the kids witnesses of what happened as it relates to you?
No. No. Okay. No. Thank God none of them were there. I knew that DeAndre was special. So where we're from, they could start Little League at 5 years old.
Okay.
So they're literally like pulling them around on their jerseys and positioning them and telling them, don't move, move. And so he could throw the ball at 5 or 6 years old, half of the length of the football field. Mm-hmm. So now a lot of people know he started out being a quarterback. He did not become a wide receiver until he was in high school. So because he was the quarterback. Everybody needs a quarterback. It's like the most athletic kid is always a quarterback, right? Mm. So, yeah, so that's how we started out. But I knew something was there.
You knew he was special.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
We're going to come back to DeAndre. So tell me how this situation occurs with you. The day where whomever done whatever they done to you, you become blind.
July 20th. 2002, I'm dealing with a guy for literally about 3 months into the relationship. I was dealing with a lot of self-hatred, didn't feel like I was worthy of a lot of things. And so I attached myself quickly, what I call, I mashed the gas. He had a key to my home. He was dry. He had access to my cars within 3 or 4 months. I was really broken. At this point. And so he had access to a lot of things that he shouldn't have. Yes. And which a lot of women do quickly. Mm-hmm. And so I get up that morning and he says he's going to school and I wake up, but he's not there. So he's taking my brand new Lexus, my brand new car. And so I'm furious and I'm like, where are you? And so it goes kind of, we go back and forth the communication and he tells me to come to a place. And I go there. On the way to, he tells me to come to his mom's house, but on the way there, I see my car. So I pull behind my car. I still don't know to this day how I thought I could drive two cars home, but I was just so furious. Yeah. And so I go pull up behind the car. He comes out and he's like, you know, what are you doing here? And I'm saying, hey, you told me to come here. And he takes my hands and he turns my back. So we're arguing a lot of arguing transpired, and he turns me around. Well, this young lady comes out of her apartment complex, and what she's concocted was a concoction of liquid red devil I mixed with Clorox. So
she comes out of her
apartment in hand in a huge cup. Well, forensics testified in court that this concoction got up to 400. It can get up to 400 degrees in a matter of 3 minutes. Wow. And so she got second degree burns trying to throw it on me, on her hands. Wow. And so she calls my name and she dashes this on me. Instantly, I fall to the ground. It's a lot of grass out there. And so I'm on my knees, and then I kind of fall back on my back. I feel like it's hot water. Mm-hmm. But then I quickly think, you know, it's not right. Like, because my breathing gets shallow. And I take my hands and I'm feeling my face, and like my skin is literally coming off in my hands. And so I'm laying out there bleeding. Still not really understanding the severity of what just happened, but I realized that I can't get up. And so of course, my breathing gets more shallow, and I could hear, this is 12 noon. This is like the middle of the day. The sun is beaming and you could hear everything going on around me, but I can't move. And so I'm assuming I lay there for another 5 minutes or so. So they get scared. He comes and picks me up, blood and all. He puts me in my car. He drives me to a gas station near. I'm assuming I was only in the car maybe a minute or two. Mm-hmm. And we get out. By this time, he's toting me because I'm in out of consciousness. I can't walk. I barely can talk. He takes me in there. The gas attendant starts screaming. There's blood everywhere. And so they take me to the back. And as she's pouring water on my face, she locks the store up. She calls 911. He leaves.
What?
He leaves me there to die because he's scared. And so EMS comes. They realize that this woman is dying.
You're aware of everything that's happening around you.
In and out of consciousness. And I, so they fly me to the Augusta Burn Center, the nearest burn center. A month and a half later, I come out of a coma. I've had multiple skin grafts. They took skin from my legs, put on my face, my neck, my shoulders, my back to save my life. I have no idea that all this is taking place. This is what I'm told. So months and months after that, I had to go through intense therapy to talk, to move my arm, to do everything.
At any point as you're going through this, who are you blaming this situation on at this point? Have you even thought about who's to blame for where I am at that particular moment?
It was very clear, very fast that she did it.
Right.
I just didn't know why. And so then I start beating myself up because what I realized was that I was so broken and so mad and so angry, and I attached myself to somebody that was like literally the scum of the earth. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why, you know? So of course I start beating myself up really fast, but I went through a depression and anxiety I didn't leave my room for about 3 years. So I went, the only time I left I'm not talking about my home, I'm talking about the bedroom. I got up to shower and go to the doctor. That was it for 3 years. And my kids was growing up. They were asking me to come to events. I couldn't, I was distraught. I couldn't be seen. My face was dark. It was a bad, bad time. I contemplated suicide two or three times. I knew exactly how I wanted to do it, when I wanted to do it. You know, I was making sure nobody was in the house. It was a very dark time. I just could not understand how someone could do this to someone else with four children and not understanding the life that I had already been through. You know, it was tough already.
What was the turnaround then? why didn't you not go through with something that could have hurt you? I mean, why did you not hurt yourself?
My children. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. It wasn't this whole story about I found God or you know, this miracle. It was literally my children was why I fought, because I had no one. They didn't have anybody but me. So there was no one to cook. I had to literally ask people to come in my home and cook for my children. My oldest daughter, she was going into high school, and these coaches were just putting her in these classes and kind of passing her through. It was a lot of things that was going on, and a lot of people was taking advantage of the situation. And I knew that I had to fight back for my children. I wanted to just make a difference. And I mean, I was scared. I didn't know how I was going to do it.
Did something happen in particular? Why? Because you said you were in that room for 3 years. Did something happen during that? I mean, I know you did it for the kid, but did something happen with one of your kids? Did something happen personally that made you say, okay, enough is enough?
There was a particular day. My baby girl, Shantaria, she was four. And she was four when I got hurt. So I would say she was around seven when this particular incident, she came in there, and there was nobody there but me and her. And she asked me, could I fix her something to eat? And she was hungry, and I had to tell her no. That was like the most hurtful thing, to tell my baby no. And then I called someone, and they said they were busy. I called someone else. They said they'll come in a couple of hours, but she's standing there tugging at my bed saying she's hungry. So I get up and I feel my way down the hall, and I stand in my kitchen. And I just cried and I bawled for hours. And I was like, this is it. I don't know what I'm going to do, how I'm going to do it, but I got to get in this kitchen. I don't think I've stopped since. Mm. Yeah, it was tough. And it was a long road. I mean, I had more anxiety trying to get back into the role of being a mother, you know, because it was easy giving up. It was easy to lay there. It was easy just to kind of, okay, you know, it's over. I don't even care. Let somebody else do it. But fighting back was tough.
Wow. What happened to the man and the woman?
She received 20 years in jail. She's still in prison right now. We had to pick our poison, per se. So he testified against her. There was nothing done to him.
Wow. Did she apologize?
Not never, never apologize.
Does it even matter?
Never, never.
There's no apology.
She had the opportunity to apologize in court. We went to court a year later. They asked her, did she have anything to say? I was told she turned her head.
Wow. Okay.
Do you forgive her?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I had to. And that was tough. You know, and I want to say this. An older lady come in one day and she says, you know, baby, you have to forgive her. I said, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Before this woman got to her car, I was like, how in the heck could she ask me to forgive this girl? Like, don't she know she took my whole life away? But then I would say about a year later, I started the process of forgiveness. It didn't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. But I said her name until it just couldn't hurt anymore. And I asked God to just take it, like literally take it, because this is what's stopping me. If this is what's stopping me from being a mother to my children and being a woman that I used to be, then I don't want this. And I would say it took about a year, year and a half, but I have no animosity, none at all for her. I literally find myself praying for her sometimes because I have totally forgiven her.
I don't know if I could be so forgiving, and people know me. I'm mm-hmm. not forgiving at all. As I listen to this, I'm saying to myself, mm-hmm. I should try to be. Mm-hmm. The nerve of me not to be as forgiving as Ms. Greenlee. While you're going through all this, your kids, obviously, they have to continue. As this is going on, obviously, DeAndre is becoming a better sportsman, a better kid. Mm-hmm. How are you able to monitor these four kids who are obviously growing and you're not there to, your presence is there, but the everyday that they need is not, but they're still, how are they dealing with what's going on with mom, I guess is where I'm going. And how are they able to grow during all this? Because most of the time in situations like this, our first instinct is mm-hmm. we want to hurt somebody who hurt our mother.
Oh yeah, and I'm sure that crossed their minds. Keisha was the oldest, so she took a lot of responsibility on. She would get in there and attempt to cook. I say attempt to cook because she's still not, she's gonna choke me. But
she over there shaking her hip.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She cook a mean breakfast though. I'm gonna give her that credit. But no, she took a lot of responsibility.
She like she handled that. She like, yeah, it's
true. Yeah, mm-hmm. She popping a call on that one over there. It wasn't easy. Right. It was not easy. They poured all the energy into sports. Mm. So there's a blessing in disguise. And that's how I look at it, because all of my children are very athletic. All of them went to college on athletic scholarships. Mm-hmm. Who knew, you know, that would turn into, you know, something that they would take pride in. But this was their outlet. This is what they done. And so that made it easy, because I saw them transforming literally over time. And this is what they did to make them happy.
I was going to ask you, do you think maybe they were as good because they needed an escape because of all the things that have happened to mom, so they could put all this energy, they became these great athletes because they needed escape, you know, route sometimes to get away from all the stuff that is happening at home?
Maybe. Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. No doubt about it.
This is an amazing story. Some of this stuff I had never heard before. So you said that you are doing a book. I'm happy about that.
Yeah,
because
I think,
because people need, you hate to hear this kind of stuff, but there's some people who, like just even hearing you saying that you forgive, mm-hmm. I have to now reconsider my forgiveness stance. I do. And I mean, my family here, they know what I'm talking about. But to hear you saying that you can forgive this person, I don't know if I would be as capable to be so forgiving in a situation like this, because, you know, the ability to see your kids every single day and for somebody to take that away from you for a man.
Yeah, over a man. That's tough. You
know, and not to disrespect us as men, but a man probably not doing everything he should as a man. It's mind-blowing.
Just a petty act.
Yeah.
You know, of jealousy. But I say beauty for ashes. Mm.
Did the kids make a promise to mom? You know, that don't worry about it, mom. We got you, and we're gonna do our thing so you can be proud of us. Or they just did what they did, and it was just all natural.
Yeah,
there was no discussion.
I mean, I knew that there was some things that I had to put in place. Mm-hmm. Curfews.
Keisha.
There was curfews that they had.
Was she bad or something? You getting
no? She
you
was
beat up today.
No, she's that's because her and my other daughter here. They're here. My daughters are here, so that's why.
These are your daughters?
No,
Shantari.
Oh, okay. Shantari. Hey.
Shantari is here. My 21-year-old is here. My 31-year-old is here.
Something with some hair on her face, so I didn't want to grab it.
Okay. No, so they're here.
Okay, she got it. I think she got it. Okay.
And.
No. She letting you know I got your back.
Okay.
I just
no.
Think
so we had there was some things I had to put in place that we did curfew.
And they
you know,
paid
we
attention.
Did we
they
did family meetings. Yeah, believe it or not, they were attentive.
Why'd y'all listen? Because y'all could have easily been trying to get over on mom. Because most kids try to get over on their parents. That's just what they do. For real. Why did you? Were you guys feeling like, man, we got to listen to her, guys?
Because at the end of the day, like, she's still mom. So whether she could drive to where we were or not, like, we knew curfew means curfew. And, you know, whether she could see or not, like, she still grounded us.
I'm just kidding. You were the oldest? You're the oldest?
Yeah, I'm the oldest.
What toll did all this take on you? I don't mean to ask you a question because you like, this ain't my thing. But I hope you don't mind. But I'm just curious because she talks about you guys. And I'm just, what toll, and you're the oldest too. So what toll all this took on you?
I had to grow up real fast. Mm-hmm. There was a responsibility I felt as the oldest to take care of my mom, take care of my younger siblings. You know, I didn't have the luxury of just being a normal teenager, right? Like, I had to learn to drive way before I had a license. Mm-hmm. You know, like, when she got hurt, I was 14. I didn't get my license till I was like 16 or so, but I was driving way before then because we had places to go. You know, like, it was... You know, it was just us five, and, you know, And obviously the car, it fit five.
So you had to work it out.
Thank God I didn't have five kids, right?
Look, we had places to go, and somebody had to get us there. So
sometimes when these kind of situations occur, the oldest feels like I gave up everything for everybody else. I'm just curious, since I'm talking to you, at any time did you feel like, oh, I gave up my life so, you know, sis could be this and bruh could be this and da 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 da, or you know, you just this is the hand that God dealt and I'm gonna deal with it.
That was not the case for me, because my younger brother Marcus, he's a year younger, and then Nuke is 4 years younger than me. But us three being so close in age, we all took on the responsibility of our little sister and our mom. So we shared that responsibility. It wasn't all on me. Obviously, me being the oldest, I had more responsibility. But we definitely all did our part.
Who's responsible for DeAndre being the athlete that he turned out to be?
That would be me.
I can't take responsibility for nothing else. We shared that. That was the setup question right there.
But you knew that was coming, right?
Well, I had to add. That was the setup. I wanted to, because she was being so gracious and sharing everything else. I wanted to see if she's going to be gracious, you know, with the star football player.
She was tough on him.
Were you really?
Oh yeah.
Could you beat him up back in the days?
Could and did.
Back in the day, it got to a point where I was like grounding her, saying, "Stop, I'm speaking to her like this. Stop beating on my children, please."
I had this mindset that, you know, like we didn't have a male in the house, and I had two younger brothers, and I was like, one way or another, y'all are gonna be tough. You're gonna be men, and you know, we played basketball together, we played football, and like there was no mercy. Like, you will be tough. Like, I don't care. Like,
she says no mercy.
You know, at least once a week, like somebody is like, you know, busted your lips and all. Like, you know, but we made each other better. But
Now, as I know, I think all of you are athletes. Did you see DeAndre turn out to be the athlete that he's turned out to be? Because he's incredible.
I did.
You did. So you just knew from there.
No, I did. I think mothers had because of his work ethics. Like he would get up at 12 o'clock at night and run. That was his thing. So I saw this early on. I mean, he just had that. He had that will. He stayed in the gym, whether it was basketball or on the football field. He was always wanting to just be there.
Can I ask you who's responsible for that? Because, yes, it can be in you, but sometimes somebody put it there. Is there some person, or is it just all his own will?
I'm going to have to give him all that credit.
Okay.
Because yes, there were some circumstances at home, unforeseen circumstances, but he saw that. It gave him the motivation to want to, you know, get his family out of certain things. Mm-hmm. But literally, I have to give him that credit. That's you nice. Know, I would love to take it, but I was a cheerleader.
Thank you, Ms. Green.
Now, the rewards you're experiencing now, getting two footballs last night when he scores two touchdowns. How does that feel when you get that football just put in your hand? And I'm sure the collection is growing, right?
Yeah, it is. It felt amazing. I mean, because
you don't get over that because he does it. He scores so many touchdowns.
The first time I got some this season. Let's keep it real. I got
Mama's
two.
Counting.
I've been waiting on them balls. And then I get two in one night. Okay. Actually, Keisha got one. Okay. He passed her one. But no, it feels good. It feels good. It's rewarding because, you know, 7 years in the NFL, and he's still, you know, the number one wide receiver.
Yeah, yes, he is.
You know, that's a blessing.
Now, I know you have this smooth Santa, and I do want to talk about that. Some of your story I was not familiar with, and when I heard it, something I was watching DeAndre, I'm like, oh, I didn't know that's how you became blind. So I had to ask them.
No,
I think there's other people that don't know your story, and I think it helps people.
But
you're doing other things to help people as well, and that's the Smooth Santa deal that you're doing. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I founded Smooth about 7 years ago.
Does it stand for something?
Smooth stands for Speaking Mentally, Outwardly, Opening Opportunities Towards Healing.
Okay.
And so I have an amazing group of ladies.
I see them.
That some of them are here this morning. And so this is the Houston chapter, and they have been working diligently getting Smooth Santa together. Mm-hmm. We've hosted a couple of events here. So we've been here now almost a year. Mm-hmm. But we taking a lot of pride in the Smooth Santa. We're going to literally provide Christmas for 50 children.
Okay.
And their families. Is it 50 ladies?
Yes.
50. Yes. And so we're excited about that. We have a toy drives going on. We're wanting to get people involved in hosting toy drives that can, and then, you know, bring us the toys so that we can, you know, provide these kids with, what we're doing is we're creating an experience. So we partnered with ABDA, and we're going to go into this facility, create the Santa Claus, the, as, Miss Hazel is our creative director, so
come
she's
Miss Hazel.
Miss Hazel and Miss Alana,
no, y'all didn't come
Tina, come on, y'all, Keisha.
Miss Hazel, grab the mic right there, Miss Hazel. So give me a rundown now. Who can all be a part of this?
Everybody can be a part. Okay. We're looking for, like Miss Sabrina said, we're looking for donations of toys for kids from all ages. Also, volunteers. It's going to be a great day. Of course, Santa Claus is going to be there.
Absolutely.
We're handing out gifts. We're having activities. So we just, if you guys can visit Smooth Inc. and see how you can be a part.
So Smooth Inc. is
smoothinc.
Online.
Smoothinc.org.
Yes, smoothinc.org.
So, spell it out, too, because, you know, somebody might think it's a smooth with a V in it or something like that. Okay, who's this walking up to the mic?
Hi, my name is Alana.
Hey, Miss Alana.
Alana is my VP of Houston.
All right, let the VP talk then.
And
come
it is
on,
smooth
VP.
With three O's, okay. S-M-O-O-O-T-H-I-N-C.
See, that's very important.
.org.
Okay. Yeah. They can go there and get information. They can find out when activities happen. They can find out how they can volunteer. They can find out, like, can other kids be a part of it as well? And sign up? No. So you already got a team, but you do need the toys and you do need the volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
And they can just go online. Everything they need is online. They can sign up.
To volunteer, what slots you want, what time, morning, afternoon, everything. Whether you want to host a toy drive yourself and use us as the beneficiary of your toy drive. We've done that. And we've also had people just drop off their own toys or donate monetarily as well so we could pick them out.
And again, all online. It's S-M-O-O-T. O-T-H.
Yes. Three O's.
That work.
All right.
Yes. And we have, and then we have Miss Tina. She is responsible for the toy drives that's happening on the tailgate and the media. So we have a host of ladies.
So give me, Miss Tina, give me a rundown. Tell me what's going on.
Okay. So right now we have three drop-off locations for anybody who does want to donate
currently
toys.
Right now.
Currently.
Right
yes.
now.
I believe through December 7th, we're accepting at the three drop-off locations, which Energy Corridor is going to be on Wickchester Lane, 12141 Wickchester Lane. I'm the contact, Christina Dorsey, for that one. We have a Stafford location at the Lock Block. Hazel Brown is the contact for that one. And that's on 610 Murphy Road, number 202. In Pasadena, we have Hair Palace, which the contact is Patty Cream. That's on 4214 Center Street.
Mm-hmm.
So those are three ongoing drop-off locations through December 7th. I know last night we had somebody at the tailgate. Nuff said tailgaters did a collection for us, and they will also be doing it at the next home game. So if anybody is in the blue lot and wants to go to the Nuff said tailgaters tent, they will be accepting donations. And I think they are still running the promo that if you bring a toy or a $10 plus donation, you get entered into a raffle to win a DeAndre signed ball.
Cool.
Woo.
So all this information is online, correct, ladies?
All of it is online currently.
Give the website again, please. Miss Sabrina, you can. You're right.
Smoothinc.org. Mm-hmm. And that is with three O's. S-M-O-O-O-T-H. Inc.org.
Miss Greenlee, I appreciate you so much for coming in here today. I appreciate your team. You guys coming in here as well, sharing your story, that obviously you don't have to share your story, but I think it helps so many people who go through things share. Even me, I take something out of it today, like, man, I might have to forgive somebody. I don't want to. It hurts. It hurts me, Miss Sabrina. It just hurts me.
There's healing and forgiveness.
Oh,
there we go.
She's trying to preach to me, Jimmy.
Don't use this to preach to me, girl. Don't look healed.
Mm,
preach
to me. No, girl. Don't try to use this to heal, Hatter. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, but really, thank you so much. DeAndre is awesome. I don't know what you're saying. Oh, we're going to get to the social media, baby. This is just what we do. She wants you to get that social media, let everybody know so they can. Now, who run her social media?
Well, I've been running it.
As of yesterday.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you just started? Oh, so she needs some followers.
Okay.
Okay, all right. So Instagram?
Yes, my Instagram.
All right, do you know, what's your Instagram?
So they tell me I'm a social media influencer now.
Oh, okay.
Get the coins. That's what they tell me these days.
Tell you, girl.
So
okay,
I'm
okay.
Going to let Miss Lauren tell you.
Come on, Miss Lauren. Come on now. Tell her now. She's an influencer, so influence these people now.
Yes. So most of you may know me as Low London from Instagram. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm running Miss Sabrina Greenlee's page because we need people to get into this story. They need to know everything about her. They need to know how her day-to-day life is going.
Okay.
Last night she wasn't having a great day, but she got up, she went out, she supported her son, she supported the Texans, you know, which is supporting Houston. So we need people following her page, following her story, supporting her, supporting Smooth Inc. And yes, we're just going to turn up for Houston.
What's the name?
Handle.
Sabrina Greenlee, 12.
Can you spell it? Because, you know, sometimes people, they need spellings, baby.
S-A-B-R-I-N-A Greenlee, G-R-E-E-N-L-E-E, 12.
And why 12?
1-2.
Why 12?
Oh, 12 is her birthday.
Oh, okay. And that's on IG, correct?
Yes.
All right. Make sure, I want to make sure we got everything.
I think we have everything. So, can I say something?
Yes, you can.
So, Brun Studios has reached out to your girl, the one and only Sabrina Greenlee.
Okay.
And I closed a movie deal with them.
Congratulations.
Earlier this year.
Okay.
So the movie will be called Sabrina.
Okay.
So if you didn't catch something this morning, definitely go out and catch the movie. It's in the works. Creative writing is going on now. I have a director. So, and it's a motion picture. We're not talking about low budget now. we going for an A-lister. So.
Is there anybody you want in particular to play you?
I am. If Taraji P. Henson... Ooh. Would agree
Rob,
to it.
Rob, you didn't know nothing. Shut up, Rob.
Shut up, Rob.
I knew she was going to say that. Shut up.
Taraji P. Henson, Gabrielle Union.
Wow, okay.
You know, Lisa Ray.
Okay.
I feel like, you know, it... Well,
I love some Lisas.
Lisa's my fashion icon.
Who would have going to play DeAndre?
Oh, God. If you ask DeAndre, he going to say DeAndre.
Idris Elba is DeAndre Hopkins.
Hey, at 10 years old and 20.
If you ask him, he's going to say himself.
Well, congratulations.
Well,
congratulations.
Thank you.
Do you know how long the process is going to be before we see the lights of day? Because I know the writing process.
So it's still, yes. So I have an amazing team in Hollywood, L.A. They're working on it.
Okay.
But I would say... look for some things to come in 2020.
Okay, well, mm-hmm. When things happen,
yes, we'll have more in 2020.
And then whenever,
and I'll come back.
And before that, if there's something going on, let us know.
Yeah, so I would love to come back.
Okay, thank you, Miss Sabrina. Miss Sabrina,
thank you.
Everything's online that you need, and follow her. She's an influencer. Appreciate you checking out the Manhattan Morning Show podcast. Make sure you share, like it, tell your friends, even tell a foe. Everywhere you listen to podcasts, you can listen to the Manhattan Morning Show podcast. And of course, you can listen to the Manhattan Morning Show weekdays at 97.9 The Box, 5 to 10 Central, and download the app 97.9 The Box. We appreciate it.